So sometimes the sea is calm and the winds blow softly, but there are other times when the wind rises, the sky darkens, and we find ourselves in the midst of a terrible storm. And as we all meet here this morning, we're either just coming out of a storm, we might find ourselves in the middle of a storm, or we are about to approach one. Whether we are a Christian here this morning or not, we will all face trials in our lives. James in the Bible says, when we face or we fall into various trials, he doesn't say if, and he doesn't say maybe, but he says when. And here in the book of Mark, we meet the friends of Jesus about to face such a trial. In many ways, it started out as a normal, typical day for Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had been teaching and ministering by the Sea of Galilee. It was a full and it was a long day. Afterwards, when evening came, Jesus no doubt wanted rest and respite from his ministry and from the crowds. So he decided to take a boat with some of his disciples to go to the opposite shore. The disciples who were with Jesus in the boat probably thought this was a routine, relaxing sail across the Sea of Galilee. One that they've probably made many, many times before. And we notice, don't we, when we look at the Bible, that it reports not long after, Jesus fell asleep. But this was just the calm before the storm. Now, for those that either do or don't know, the Sea of Galilee, because of its location, was prone to severe and sudden storms. As the warm air from the Mediterranean blows through the valleys, across the lake, and can sometimes produce waves about 20 to 30 feet high. We read, don't we, in verse 37, if you have your Bibles, that a furious squall or windstorm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The suddenness and the size of the storm clearly took the disciples by surprise. And we know, don't we, that life's storms are sudden and they are fierce. Whether we're hearing from the doctor that we have cancer, whether we find out that we've been made redundant, that a spouse has been unfaithful, or that a loved one has died. And while some storms seem to rise out of nowhere and take us by complete surprise, other storms build and they brew as we watch them. Storms of loneliness, storms of failure, storms of grief, storms of depression. So how do we respond to life storms? Is it one of faith or is it one of fear? Do we doubt that God can truly help us and give us peace through these desperate times? So these are some of the things that we're going to look at this morning. Responding to life's storms. In verse 38, if we look at verse 38 in the Bible in Mark, we read that Jesus is in the stern of the boat. He's asleep on a cushion. The disciples, in their panic, awoke him. And because of the storm, they probably shouted, didn't they? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, although the text doesn't say which disciples were with Jesus in the boat, it's probable that they were seasoned and hardened fishermen. A number of them would have been fishermen even on this very lake. They would have earned their living on this lake for many years. They would have known the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. So they would have seen all sorts of conditions, and they would have seen all sorts of storms. And this storm was therefore one that they had never experienced, that they had never seen before. So fierce was the storm that they were petrified they were going to die. These experienced fishermen probably first did everything they could to get out of the storm. I'm not a sailor, but I know a few people in the church are. But they may have slackened the ropes, turned into the storm, strengthened the mast, let down the sails. But the thing is, friends, their efforts were completely futile. And we too try to solve our problems, don't we? Trying to figure everything out into the equation without including God. Too often we trust God up to a certain point, and then we go back to the panic prayers of those who either lack faith in God or don't know God at all. We get to our wits' end, showing that we do not have confidence in Him and His governing of His creation. Jesus seems to be asleep, and we see nothing of waves of problems ahead. So, as Jesus was sleeping, the disciples believed that He was unaware of the dangers, or even cared for them, or cared for what was going to happen to them. This is an awful thought, isn't it, if we really think about it? Because Jesus came into this earth and was going to die on a cross for them. The disciples instead focused all their thoughts on the storm rather than their love of their best friend and Saviour. And it's so easy, isn't it, to sit here today, and it's so easy to pass judgment on the disciples. But we can often identify with them, can't we? Through fierce storms in our lives, it can seem like we are sinking and about to drown. And life seems so overwhelming. We just feel we can't cope with the things that we're facing at the time. Fear takes its grip. We begin to doubt God's love for us, and we begin to doubt God's promises. It feels like the Lord just simply does not care. And when we do call out to Him, it can seem sometimes we get no response whatsoever. And we start to wonder, why isn't God helping me? Why is nothing changing in my life, in my situation? And sometimes, friends, the silence of God can be the hardest thing that we face. However, our distorted view of the problem, our distorted view of ourselves, clouds our vision, so that we fail to see the marvelous and the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can often forget to tell our Saviour about our troubles, praying not until we are forced to our very knees. We fail to see that Jesus is always there, even though sometimes it feels like He's not. Even before the disciples called on Jesus, He was there with them, wasn't He? He was going through the storm, that very storm, with them. Their lack of faith failed to see that Jesus is always greater than all our troubles. These verses in the book of Mark show us the amazing humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a body just like ours, a body that hungers, a body that thirsts, a body that a body that is weary, a body that feels pain, and a body that needs rest. As a man, He knows our trials and He knows our troubles. He understands what we mean when we cry out to Him in life's storms. The full humanity of Jesus Christ can be such a tremendous comfort to us when we are suffering from the limitations of our own bodies. We read in Hebrews 4, verse 15, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, yet without sin." Not only was our Lord fully human, but He was fully divine. If you look at verse 39 in the book of Mark, it says, "He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.'" Jesus had to merely speak the words and the howling winds ceased. And the surging waves were instantly as smooth as glass. Just as Jesus' full humanity encourages because he understands, so his full deity should encourage us because he is all powerful to act on our very behalf. Nothing is too difficult for the living God. Not a breath of wind or a drop of water can defy his sovereign will. So when you hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you have in mind? I'll just give you a minute to think about it. Is it one of kindness? Is it one of generosity? Is it one of lovingness? Of compassion? If that's so, then you're absolutely right. But if that's your only impression, if that's your only understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, then your view of him is unbalanced. The name of Jesus has infinite power and authority. He is the creator of the universe. No one in the history of this world will have or ever displayed such power. Jesus has authority because he is God. Now, many years ago, I was on a plane journey. I think I was going on a holiday. And as soon as the plane took off, we had hours of just turbulence. Now, for those who have been on a plane with turbulence, it's pretty scary. And the plane just seemed to drop like hundreds of feet. And there was panic and there was screaming. And that was just for me. But when the plane landed at the airport, the sense of relief was so vast that every single person on the plane clapped their hands with relief and thankfulness. So why then do we read in the scriptures that after Jesus calmed the storms, after he stilled the waves, his disciples were absolutely terrified? Surely they should have been clapping their hands and rejoicing and cheering and saying, "Oh." So in verse 41, we read the disciples were still terrified. Why weren't they relieved? They weren't relieved and they were still terrified because they were facing the question, "Who is this? This man speaks to the wind and the waves and they obey him." They questioned the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They realized he was no ordinary man. And this raises a personal question for you and for me this morning. We can be too familiar, can't we, with the miracles of Jesus, and they just become another story. And we give the miracle and this story no more thought. But this is a serious matter. We all need to face up this morning to the very question, who is this man? The disciples, as we know, had seen Jesus preached. They had seen the broken people healed miraculously. But they still did not know who Jesus was. They saw him who was powerful, but his power was limited. So that is why when they faced the storm, they assumed that Jesus was powerless. And often we can make the same mistake. We limit God to what we have seen in our own lives or in the lives of those who are close to us. So what happens? We encounter a new storm and then we start to become unsure if God can help us, whether God has the power and authority. So we either foolishly turn to ourselves for comfort and wisdom, or we just focus on the storm. Now, in chapter 8 in the book of Mark, it shows the disciples still lacked faith, but then it's brought to a end at the end of the chapter. And what happens? Jesus asks a question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, this was a general question. He wanted to find out what people thought about him. And the people ranked him as an important person or a prophet. But the second question is very specific. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, Peter was probably one of the disciples who were in the boat at the time of the storm. And he replied at this time, "You are the Christ." Now, during the storm, the disciples had little confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, as they did not understand and they did not trust who he really was. They never saw Jesus this way, and therefore they believed he could not deal with their greatest problems and needs. And it's a sobering thought, but one day we are going to die. And we need someone who can deal with our greatest problem of death and sin. Someone who faced the ultimate storm, who has borne our punishment on a cross and conquered death and sin. We need a saviour, don't we? We need Jesus. He has ultimate power and authority, and he meets all our needs. The issue in the boat was a serious thing then, and thing is, folks, it's a serious thing now. This wonderful passage reminds us that the power of God is stronger than any wave that beats against us. The love of God is deeper than any water that threatens to drown us. In every storm, Jesus is present, and his response is always the same. Peace. Be still. In every storm, there are choices to be made. Do we put our faith in the power of the storm or in the power of God in Christ? If it's in the power of God, then the following things will help us have peace through life's storms. Firstly, trust in God. Now, we fear losing our jobs, don't we? We fear being in debt. We fear about the state of our pension. We fear about passing our exams. We fear about our health. So what do? We make investments. We get insurance to cover all eventualities. But friends, we can get all the cover that we need. But without Christ in our lives, we have nothing. We have no security, we have no peace, we have no forgiveness, and we have no guarantee of eternal life with him in heaven. We cannot know peace through life's storms until we have peace in Jesus. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in him? What is there in your life and the teaching of Jesus that causes you to doubt? And what have you gained without knowing Jesus? Is it peace or happiness or contentment? Anxiety, uncertainty, fear? Is it fear about the present? Is it a fear about the future? Because sooner or later, we're all going to face storms that are going to threaten to sink us, that may place our lives in peril. So how important it is that Jesus is on board. In the midst of the storms, he will bring peace because he has control over all the elements. Now, being a Christian does not mean we'll not face storms, because it's not the absence of storms that sets God's children apart. It's whom we discover in the storm. A loving and a powerful and an unstirred Christ. One amazing thing, apparently being verified by doctors, is that a mother has a special ear for their children or for their baby's cry. Mothers can often distinguish their own baby's cry in a room full of babies. And for me, and I think for most men, we couldn't work out at all, could we? And sometimes, I'm owning up for the first time here, but when either Elizabeth or Isabella's been in the creche and there's been crying noises from that room, Lisa's turned to me and said, that's Isabella. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how on earth does she know that? But a mother's ear pales in comparison with God's ear for his children. We read in Psalm 34 that the righteous cry out, that's God's children, that's the Christians, that's those who love him. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. This is truly a wonderful promise to all who put their trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Faith in God allows us to see and know that Jesus is there whatever we face in our life. Faith is what allows us to be still, to be peaceful in the midst of the storm, and to face eternity with confidence. Are you saved here this morning? Friends, if you are saved, you have nothing to fear. And that leads us on to trust in his word. Now, before the disciples got into the boat, you will notice in verse 35, it says, let us go over to the other side. You will notice here that Jesus did not say, well, let's go halfway and then we'll sink. He said, let us go over to the other side, doesn't he? Now, the disciples had not held on to God's word to give them the assurance that they would reach the other side safely. They had allowed the voice of the storm to silence the voice of the Lord. Now, God is not a liar. The disciples know that, and we know that. We can trust in God's promises. Jesus was on board the boat, and the disciples had nothing to fear. And God, friends, does not want us to have fear. He tells us that he doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. And the Bible, it says, do not be afraid, or some kind of phrase like that. And it's said apparently 365 times. So that's one for every day of the year. That is how important it is to God, to our loving Father, that he doesn't want you and he doesn't want me to fear, but to have peace in him. So the time to develop our resources to face the sudden storms that will inevitably strike is before they hit. How often do you read your Bibles? Is it gathering dust in a corner of the room? Is it an app on your phone that is rarely used? Throughout the day, when you have time, or when you make time, what's the first thing that you turn to? Is it the TV? Is it a book? Is it social media? Is it computer games? Or is it spending time with your Savior? If we don't regularly read our Bibles and don't spend time with the Lord in the calms of life, you won't know how to trust him in the storms of life. The better we know him, the better we can trust in Jesus in our trials. I read the other day this phrase. It says, the more you read scripture, the more you actually talk to God rather than think about fear. I'll say that again. The more you read scripture, the more you actually talk to God rather than thinking about fear. How true that is, isn't it? Trust in the Lord and his word is not an automatic thing. It's something that we must choose to exercise. And often in the face of overwhelming circumstances that seem to scream at us that God doesn't care about me. And if he loves me, he wouldn't put me through this trial. We must get back into the wonderful and good habit of reading our Bibles, where we read of God's faithfulness to his people in difficult circumstances. We must read and trust that his promises were not just for his children in the Bible, but that they are promises for us now. If you actively trust the Lord Jesus Christ in your current trials, your faith will be strengthened to trust him in the next storm that you face. And sometimes a crisis, it can show us a side of ourselves that we are blind to. And the Lord uses it to reveal new areas where we need to learn to trust him. We all must come to know our weaknesses so that we'll rely on the Lord's strength. Storms often show us things that we don't see in calmer times. And that may be that we're not reading our Bibles. We're not trusting in his word. And when we turn to Jesus and the promises in the Bibles, when we fix our eyes on him and his love and his power, you will notice that our focus will shift from staring at the storm to staring at the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are looking at him, then we aren't looking at the storm. If we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by his perfect love, to cast out all our fears, then we stop being overwhelmed by the storm. A Scottish minister called Robert Murray McShane said, "For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ." For every time you look down at your problem, at your crisis, take 10 looks at Jesus Christ. Peter, one of the disciples in the boat at the time, later writes, "Casting all your cares, all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So in the storms of life, don't look down at the waves. Don't keep looking at the difficult circumstances. Look up to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who cares for you. And that leads us on to the next. So it's trust in the God, it's trust in his word, and finally, trust in prayer. How often do we pray? Is it once a day? Several times a day? Is it once a week? Is it when I just fit God in? Or is it never? All good relationships depend on good communication. Without it, they will suffer and cause us to doubt. It will cause us to fear and it will cause us to feel insecurity. Like the disciples, sometimes we get to the limit of our own understanding and ability, and then we turn to God instead of running to God first. But the thing is, we need to develop an active prayer life through the difficult times as well as the good times. During the calms of life, we need to grow in prayer and learn to turn to God for all things. The more we trust and rely on God in prayer, the more we will utilize prayer during the trials of life. In a crisis, we tend to do things by instinct, don't we? And therefore, prayer should be instinctual, just like breathing. We read these wonderful verses in Philippians verse 4, 6 to 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, which surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in the Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, God knows all our weaknesses, doesn't he? He knows our lack of faith. He knows all our fears. But if we are his, he will never, ever, ever cast us away. He will bear with us and he will never leave us. He will pick us up when we fall. He will hold us fast and he will love us to the end. So what should we do if we are trusting in the Lord, but the trials don't go away? There was a man called Hudson Taylor, and he was one of the great missionaries. And he lost his beloved wife, Maria, as they both sought to take the gospel to inland China. And when he stood at her grave, he sang these very words: "Jesus, I am resting in the joy of who you are. I am finding out the greatness of your loving heart." Do you know Jesus in this way? If not, don't wait until the storm hits. Seek him now. Trust Jesus as your savior, your best friend, your only hope of heaven. Trust in his promises, his love, and his power. Trust in him in the small things. Then wherever he instantly calms a storm or not, you will know peace and the stillness that the world will never know. The peace that comes from trusting in Jesus, the one who will never leave our side and will carry us through all of life's storms safely to shore, until one day leading us home. Amen.